Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place of fellowship where two or three are gathered. We are gathered in our houses. We are gathered in our bedroom. Some are on the road. Some might be in the train. Some might be in their cars right now, tuning in. Some might just be lying down on their bed. Some might even be in the kitchen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every distraction. Amen. We come against every power of hell, principalities, powers, cosmic powers, distractions, thoughts that the enemy may want to plant in the hearts. We bring every thought into captivity. We say everything comes into obedience and aligns with the word of God tonight. And Father, I surrender myself to you sacrificially, irrespective of how I feel. It is not a feeling. It is not my emotion. It is you. Lord, fill me again. Fill me. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the love of God. You pour in my heart again, afresh, afresh, afresh. The love of God poured in my heart again, afresh through the power of the Spirit. Thank you as I pray upon every heart and mind also watching. Let the love of God, Holy Spirit, come upon everyone. Reveal Jesus again. Bring us to the knowledge of the truth and bring us to remembrance that we must love one another as you have loved us. You said, he that does not love does not know God. Father, thank you for bringing every heart and preparing every heart and turning every heart away from every distraction and pouring your Spirit into every flesh hearing this now. And thank you for flowing into me and through me right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can hear an echo of an amen beside you there. So yes, the question I want to ask you, unscripted, is, are you in love? That's our topic tonight, everybody. Are you in love? And you can comment, you can ask questions on the Facebook Live. All of you watching, thank you. Yes, I can see people from all over the place. You're welcome, 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 right? So you can put your comments on Facebook Live or join us through the Love Slide, through Slido, the app. If you Google and type in SLIDO, it's going to ask you for the hashtag. It's LOVSLIDO, Love Slido. Yes, sir. Are you in love?
That's a very good question, sir. And my body is in the studio, so I have to answer this question very, very, very carefully.
When you say your body, when you say your body is in the studio, what exactly do you mean?
That I'm the head, and my wife is the body.
Okay, you are the head, you are the body. So your wife is in the studio with you. So you have to be careful with the answer. Are you in love?
Yes. Yes, I'll be in love.
Are you on that? It's as if, are you sure there's not a gun? There's not a gun pointed to your head by the side there, waiting to hear the answer you will give. Well, are you under pressure to give the right answer?
The Bible says that we are one body, sir. So the head and the body are so angry.
You're still getting so spiritual here now. There is no fear. Listen, sir. There is no fear in love. Yes. Perfect love casts out fear. So don't fear your body. Don't fear your wife. Oh, Lord. It just reminds me of what Dr. Jojo shared with us last week about walking in eggshells.
Yes, sir.
You know, that when we're in love, we're walking in eggshells around somebody. You know, after the communion service last week, we had to have a heart-to-heart talk in our house here. Started asking one another, asked my wife and the boys, are you guys walking around, with eggshells here? Are you real? Or are we all acting to ourselves here? Are we for real? And, we had to ask ourselves sincerely, because when we are walking in love, like we learned last week, the veil must be removed. And you know, one of the things I'm learning about love, which a dimension I've not really seen before, is that God is love, right? Yeah. And I saw places in the Bible where God expressed emotions. I recently read in a place where, you know, Jesus will get angry at people's unbelief. He will get angry when people doubt the word of God. You know, when say, oh, ye of little faith, how long will I be with you? How long? You know? So there's that place of, you know, correction, the place of rebuke, the place of instruction when it comes to love. You know, the Bible says that it is who God loves that he chastises also. So I begin to see all this, you know, getting a right balance. Yeah. And like we learned last week, with unveiled faces we come. You know, transparent. We come to God as we are. You know, you're not feeling good. Let God know. Don't come and pretend. You're okay. Let God know. You know, your heart is heavy. Let God know. Your heart is full of thanksgiving. Let God know. We don't pretend. We don't work with eggshells, you know, around God. So you don't work with eggshells, sir. Are you in love? Somebody say, Uncle Ewe, don't fear. Don't fear your body. All right. If you say you are in love, okay, unscripted again, let me ask you. Say you're answering parables. How do you know that you are in love? Because that's what we're discussing tonight. Everybody, are you in love? And then we'll look at some things laid on our hearts to just share with us. How do you know you're in love with your buddy? If I should use your term, that's how do you know you're in love with your wife?
That's
without you looking sideways to where she is, you know.
Yes, I'll look very straight. Yes, very straight. I think I'll start with the definition of love. I think especially God's love, which I have for my wife, I believe. And he says this, I'm using someone's definition, a man of God's definition. He said, love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion towards the person whom that action is being taken. So love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion towards the object of that love. So okay. from that definition, yes. How do I know it's what are the things I do? What is, as you've said before, love is not an emotion, although it is accompanied by emotion. So I'll use Jesus as an example. Jesus loved us, and what does he have for us? He had compassion on us. So compassion is the emotion. The action, healing, helping, giving us salvation is the love. So I believe that that's the kind of love God wants us to have. And how do I know I love my wife, for example? It's the things I do and also the feedback I get from her to show that I love her. And that's one. And the second thing is God's prescription that he has given me. What does he say I should do that shows that I love my wife? He said I should give myself up for her, and I should put her first. So that is, I've put myself in another basket by the grace of God. So.
Okay. You said the feedback you get from your wife.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Maybe we should bring your wife on and get some feedback on live TV. What sort of... You know, you can't feed us back with what she feeds you back with. And you can't speak for yourself.
I can't speak for myself.
Right. Can I ask you, does your wife get angry with you?
Yes, she does.
Oh, wow. It took you time to answer that question.
Because it's been a while, so that's why it was difficult.
Okay. And you and your wife, you do have disagreements in spite of loving one another.
Yes, sir.
You fall out at times in terms, but then that love is beyond the falling out.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if we go by your what you said, a man of God said, act of the will. So we it's more of like a decision. You will, yeah, you set your will to love your wife as God loves you. Anyway, let us look at two things. You know, are you still in love?
Yes.
Our topic. Oh, you are saying yes now. Yes. Your yes is quicker than when you first said it. Anyway, let's look at something, right? It's a big question. Are you in love? My wife is asking me here that am I in love? Yes. The reality is I have come to understand through my relationship with my wife what the love of God actually means, in all sincerity. Like, we fall out, we disagree, we have good times, we have our challenges, we have our arguments, we have times that you are like in heaven. You know, we have times like, wow, the way we are going seems like we are hell bound. You know, but one of the things I see from the Word of God is that the love that Jesus has for the church, Jesus compares it to the love a husband should have for his wife. He said, husbands, love your wives. Isn't that Ephesians? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the question we must ask ourselves to start with is, what is love in the first place? You know, yeah, the man of God says act of the will. What does the Bible say? And I see a very good, simple definition of what love is in 1 John chapter 4. Please, if you are joining us and you want to comment, please comment on Facebook Live, or you can go on Love Slido and you can go on Slido, hashtag Love Slido, and you can put your comments or put in your questions, you know, like the things that can affect our love. We'd like to hear from you too. What are the things that you think can affect your love? All right? Okay, so let's get a definition of love. All right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. It says, beloved, let us, look at that word let. Like you rightly said, to let is a decision. To let is something you actively, consciously allow. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. Now it says, for love is of God. And everyone, look at this, who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love, this is deep, does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When we go by these two scriptures, clear definition of love, if you are wondering what love is, it's right there, the latter end of that verse 8. God is love. Look, AY, God has to be love, I'm telling you, because it is difficult to love people outside of God, without God being at the being involved. What we have could just be mere affection. And when people hurt you or say things to you or annoy you, the affection goes like that. But if the love we're talking about, defined from 1 John 4:8, is God, God does not go. In that context, God is eternal. So it's not like God, one vapor, one feeling, one fleet of emotion, and then once it's that's affected, it goes. No, God doesn't go. God is eternal. God is immortal, which means God cannot die. So the love we're talking about here is God. God is love. The question, are you in love? Replace that with God, the love there. Are you in God? Because for you to be in love, from the scriptural definition, you can only be in God to really love. See, there's the human part of us. We're affectionate. We like people. We're attracted to people. Oh, that man is handsome. Oh, that woman is so attractive. She's beautiful. And we fall in love. That's the human love. We don't fall in God. We walk in God. God works in us and through us to another human being. That is the God kind of love. And since God cannot die, since God is eternal, that love we're talking about, once you are in it, that love is there. But you have to let that love in. Verse 7. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. We've got to let God in for us to be able to love somebody else. Oh, look, AY, people do things. There are names that if people just mention to to us and you remember what they did to you, you know, just like, you know, the scripture that informed our theme for this month, which is, you know, avoiding, stopping our love from getting cold. It's in that book of, I think, Matthew chapter 24, that he says that because iniquity, lawlessness, wickedness is abounding, the love of many, it will wax cold. It will grow cold. It will grow cold. The love of many. The love of many. So when we look around us and we look at the things people do to us, the things people say to us, when people just annoy us at times, and we hold on and we look at people, love goes, we forget God. Now, when you look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it didn't say that the love will go. It says it will grow cold. Growth is gradual. It's not like rapid. Slowly we begin to walk out of love with people. Do you know how? When you keep looking at people, you keep looking at what people do, we keep looking at what people say, we keep remembering how people repaid us, how we almost cut our head sacrificially to do things for people, and how they literally tell you, you know, you can go to blazes. If you keep looking, if we keep our gaze on things like that, growing cold slowly, slowly, it grows slowly. Love is still there. Remember, God can never disappear. But it's grown cold. It is our own love, the love of many now. So that is one thing we want to look at tonight. Are you in love? What is the definition of love? Love is God. God is love. If we are in God, we are in love. But that love, if we keep looking, taking our gaze off God, of Jesus, and keep looking at people's actions, our love slowly grows cold. Now, let us look at another scripture, very interesting scripture. In Mark chapter 12, a man comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus a very profound question. Keep it coming, people, the things that can affect our love. Thank you, the comments are already, you know, coming on, and we will read your comments very soon. Thank you very much for keep it coming on Slido, and keep it coming on Facebook. You know, you hear of husband and wife, they just hear someone say, no, I don't love her anymore. I used to love her, but I don't love her anymore. I used to love him. I don't love him anymore. What happened? All right. This man comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 12. Okay, let's read from verse number 28. The man was a scribe. The scribes then were, you know, like experts. They were like the people in the days of Jesus who knew the law. They knew the commandments of God. And, you know, some of them even, you know, interpreted it right. I mean, not right, but they were the interpreters of the laws of God, the commandments of God. And this scribe comes to Jesus. He's watched Jesus for a while and seen how Jesus, you know, related with people. And then the Bible says, verse 28, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment? Now, the Amplified puts it this way, which is the greatest and the most important commandment? That's the way some translations put it. So what he was asking there is, yeah, they're all commandments. We know this commandment, but which is the greatest? Which is the most important? Now, let's hear Jesus' answer. This is interesting. Now, Jesus answered in verse 29. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That word one is God is whole. You know, it's wholeness talks about something that is when you can't divide something, what's the word? Indivisible, right?
Indivisible.
It's whole. You know, God is not fragmented. There, no piece is missing. So it's not like there's a hole and there's something imperfect in God. No. God is whole. Now, in outset, the next thing, and verse 30, you shall love. And when you see the word shall, that's a commandment. That's not an advice. That's not a counsel. That's not even an instruction. It's a command. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So let's stop there. And he said, this is the first commandment. Remember the question, the first and the most important. Okay. So Jesus answered. But do you know what caught my attention here? It's the sequence in which Jesus gave that love. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Let me repeat again. The love, look at the sequence of loving God, genuinely loving God. Remember what we read before is about allowing God in, letting him in. God won't force himself on us. Love does not insist on his own. Love is not by force. Love is by choice. Jesus said something very profound again that I'm meditating on and I'm learning these days, sir. He said, anyone who is not with us is against us. So you are either on our side or you are against us. There's no demilitarized zone. You are either for or against. So you are either in love or not.
Wow.
Very, very profound. Because we need to start understanding the concept of the love of God. Love from God's perspective, from God's dimension. You know, there's a message God gave us some years ago, and I'm still meditating on the four dimensions of love. The length, the breadth, the depth, the height. But, you know, for another day. So, look at the sequence. You shall love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, mind, strength. Sir, I saw something. If he had first said, love the Lord with your strength, which, sir, unconsciously, the human kind of love does. You see someone, you like them, in quotes, because we are confused.com as human beings. We don't understand the love of God because we don't fully comprehend God himself. Because our comprehension of God, 1 John 4, 7, 8, he that does not love does not know God. So for us to really love is our comprehension of God. The more we can comprehend God, the more loving we become. The more of God I know, he that does not love does not know God, for God is love. The more of God that I know is measured by the love of God I show. Let me say that again, and I hope this will be captured by the media. The more of God that I know is determined by the more of God I show. The more of God I know is determined by the love of God that I show. So the knowing first influences the showing. He that does not love does not know God. So our focus is God. Knowing him more. It's not about revelation. Sir, I've been caught in that trap. My wife and I were discussing recently. You can get scriptures, preach. I have seen people preach, sir. They will dissect the scriptures, but they don't love. They do not love. You don't see it in their actions. They can share any revelation and all that, and they are very nasty. Nasty to everybody around them. People around them can't be themselves. When even God, who sees our hearts, tells us to come the way we are. Thank you, Dr. Uche. The more of God I know is determined by the love of God I show. So the focus again is God, not people. If we focus on people, our love will grow cold. It will grow cold, sir. So I am learning one thing now, not to allow flesh and blood to distract me. I am learning. My wife asked me a question this, you know, when we were coming this evening. You know, there are some things, some challenges going on, you know, around us with family and all that. And was asking me how I was feeling. I said, you know what? I've decided to shut my feelings. And she was saying, no, I should let her know how I feel. said, of course. My feeling now is not going to help the situation on ground. I have to stay focused on God and not let my feelings, you know, affect the way I pray. I think that's the way I explained to her. Because if I pray out of my feelings, or if I focus on my feelings, I will not really focus on God. I'm distracted by the way I feel. Copyright Dr. Uche. You know, that's one of the things Dr. Uche taught us. And these things, you know, we have to walk in them consciously, intentionally, act of the will. You know, like you shared with us about the definition of love. So I'm consciously not allowing my focus to go away from God. Because God is love. And I try. How does God forgive me? How does God correct me? How does God treat me? And I'm learning it through this beautiful platform called marriage, sir, to stay in love. What love really means. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How God forgives me. And you know, we think that love is just, oh yeah, nice feeling, buy you a car, make you feel good. How are you feeling today? Look at the take chewing gum. Oh, why are you not smiling? At times we need to tell ourselves the truth and rebuke and correct. Speak the truth in love. Because, you know, at times, you know, people don't realize that their feeling is affecting everybody else. For example, let me give you an example. I come home now, maybe somebody just annoyed me in the streets on my way home, and I am feeling angry, and I walk through the door, and the boys come to just say hello to me. I go, get out of my way. And then, so I am not feeling happy. So it means that nobody around me must feel happy. That is not love. That is self-centeredness. That is about self. I deserve to be rebuked and corrected. Because I'm not happy means everybody else shouldn't be happy. No, that is not the love of God. So, look at the next question. I mean, the next answer to that question in that Mark chapter 12. Well, before we look at it, I wanted to say something about the strength. So the human, with the human kind of love, we do everything to love, to show that we love people. You know, you want to impress. When you first met your, you know, girlfriend or fiancé, you impressed them, you bought them, you took them out, you went for cinema, you watched everything, you watched a musical, whatever, you watched everything, you went to the peak, you went. And after you say, I do, what happened? You are loving with your strength. That's the last thing in Jesus' sequence. Because the first thing we see here, sir, and I will tie this with the scripture, is we love the Lord, our God, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, with all our heart. Just hold it there. All. That comes back to what God's been speaking to us about a new heart. You cannot love with that old heart. You cannot love with half of that heart. You don't love half-heartedly. Your heart must be in it. Your total heart surrendered to God. And if you are struggling to love people, check your heart. It's time for a new heart. That's where it starts from. Not strength. So we do everything, you see every, so we just become, we're just doing the motions, our hearts are not in it. You know, serving God or doing things in the church, but your heart has gone cold. It happens. And I'm telling you, I've been guilty until that fire of the Holy Ghost comes again. How does the love of God come? Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and then we begin to read people's comments. How does that love come into our heart in the first place? Oh, Daddy Ewai, this is interesting. We love first with the heart. If God has all your heart, you know what? Your soul will line up. Your mind will line up. Your strength, like you said, the actions follow the decision of the will, because our heart is where the will is. Mm. If we guard that heart and don't let people enter that heart, don't let your heart be occupied with what somebody did, what somebody didn't do, you will not love. Your love will keep going, growing cold. All my heart, I don't want to share that heart with offenses. So it's always good. Let go. I'm learning now. I used to stomach things, but now, come on, we say it. Release it. Just say it. Say it. Don't accumulate it. Don't go and meditate on it. Don't let people just say it and then get away. No. That is wrong. That is unrighteous, because I found that Jesus never hid his feelings. So I go and check Jesus out. When he was angry, he was angry. A new dimension of love that, you know, the Spirit of God is just helping us to see. Now, hope does not disappoint. How does love enter our heart in the first place? Because the love of God has what? Been poured where, sir?
Been poured in our hearts.
Poured where?
In our hearts
by
the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, who was given to us. One way we know we have the Holy Spirit is love. Mm. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is
love.
Love. Follow anything that's got to do with the Holy Spirit, the sequence is always love. The first sequence. And it is in our hearts. All right? Okay? Let's quickly read people's comments tonight. Thank you. Thank you on Facebook. Grandma Muji says, may we love unconditionally. That's the word. Unconditionally. As God in his infinite mercy in Christ Jesus loves us. Because we need to get this balance. I am learning. I'm not here to talk down. I'm just sharing the things I am learning that God is teaching me. You know? Imagine, God loves us and he doesn't correct us. God loves us, he doesn't rebuke us. There's a proverb that says a child that is left to himself will bring his mother shame. Oh, you know, it's okay, it's just a child. It's just manifesting as a child. It's just behaving childish. And you don't correct the child. Right, okay. Anonymous says, my opinion anyway, okay, I will say something about that. You can't give what you don't have. Love should be something natural. If it is not there, it is not. But we need that grace to love. Thank you for that opinion, you know, and I like the way the person qualifies it. My opinion anyway. Sir, one of the things I learned, and I'm saying this as, let me use the word, a channel, a vessel of God, is that I realize God has made me realize that he's not called me to express my opinion. He's not called me to express my opinion over issues. He's called me to declare his word, what he says. So usually when people ask me, oh, pastor, what's your opinion about this? I say, I don't have any opinion. That's where I came from. No. God did not call me to express my opinion. Let's go to the word of God. What does the word of God says? Okay? You can't give what you do not have. Very true. Right? Love should be something natural. That is where we will have to draw a line. Love is not a something. Love is a someone. So just to bring the word of God there to that opinion, and thank you for expressing your opinion. But let's look at it scripturally. Love should be something natural. No, love is not a something, it is a someone. And I often, you know, realize this when I say I love you, AY, I'm simply telling you, I, God, and you. Between you and I is God. And because God is between us, God will dictate the way I relate with you, the way I talk to you, the way I share with you, the way I walk with you. I love you. Love is not a something, it's a someone. All right? Let's put that, because we see 1 John 4, 7, 8, God is love. God is not a something, and it's not a something natural. God is supernatural, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. So if it is not there, it is not. But we need grace to love. We need the Spirit of God to love. We need God to love. Thank you for that anyway, so we can trash that. Okay, friends and challenges can affect our love. Very true. That is why tonight, if anything at all, that I'm learning and I'm taking out of this study, is that I should stop looking at people. I should stop looking at challenges. I should always make sure that when friends and challenges come, I don't focus on the friends, I focus on God. I don't focus on the challenges, I focus on God, who will help me sort my friends and sort the challenges out. Okay? Let's go more. We're just reading everybody's, thank you, love is a choice. Somebody says love is a choice. Yeah, we choose to love, like we see, let us love one another. So it's a choice. You let God in. Yeah, I like the way you're smiling. Is your wife telling you some sweet words there? No, sir. Our topic again, everybody just joining, we're rounding up now. Are you in love? Are you in God? Okay, all right. Let's see another one. In other words, 1 John 4:8 clears all our worries or doubt in relation to love, because God is love. Thank you very much for that. It clears it. It clears it. I tell you, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Worries, doubts, you know, those are the things that make us to lead us to the place of where we start fearing. But, you know, I let God in. I surrender to God. The challenges, anything, people, whatever. You know, let me say this and be vulnerable online. You know, earlier today we met, and then you were trying to share something with me, and I stopped you that you see, there are some people, when you think about them, they will make your love grow cold because of what they've done. So I stopped you because I realized that if I continue with that conversation, I will start remembering what they did, and it will affect my love. So you know what I did, sir? As I was driving, and you know, the thought wanted to start coming back, what the person did, I just started praying for the person, praying for their family, praying for the children, God bless them. And I realized that, and I heard a scripture come up, light up within my mind, you overcome evil with good. Yeah. So if somebody's annoying you, if somebody has done you evil, please don't look at them. Pray for them. And of course, we are taking authority every time. We will pray as we round up. We must realize that our problem is not people. Our problem is not flesh and blood. People carry demons. You know, I'm saying that with every deference. I'm not calling people demons, but people carry demons. They don't know. You know, something can suggest something to you about your wife. You just heard the thought about your wife, and it's not God. It's a demon suggesting to you, and you start reacting to your wife based on that. Yeah. Like, I have a challenge. A couple I was counseling once, and you know, someone, you know, in the family, they lost someone, and a thought came that, hey, your spouse is responsible for the loss of this person. And the person, it became a stronghold and affected that marriage. I said, no. I said, that's a demon suggesting to you. We've got to address this and cast that thought out. I said, are people that powerful? You know, we just ascribe some things with people. I mean, like, I laugh over it when I think about it. When, you know, in one time someone accused me that I killed somebody. I said, I was just laughing. Am I that powerful? You know, without firing a gun. I'm not talking of, you know, of course, you can kill someone physically if you, you know, use weapons on them. But somebody, you know.
Pastor, maybe you call fire down on the person.
Okay, let me say this online, everybody hearing. If I call fire on somebody, who is going to send the fire? Who will send the fire? Is it not God? That is, if God will even send the fire. Thank you for even bringing that up. There's a scripture that I want to share with us before we continue and read the last comments. You know, Jesus and his disciples were going one day. Here it is, Daddy White. And Jesus wanted to pass through a certain place, and they would not let them pass through it, the place with his disciples. His disciples now told Jesus, look, let's call fire and brimstone upon these people. I'm trying to look for the scripture. If Mommy Sissy can help us find it in the background, or the people in the studio, if Wura can help us. He said, let's put fire on them. Do you know what he said to them? He said, no. Okay, I found it. It's Luke chapter... Oh, wow. Let me just find it again. Luke chapter 9, verse 55. They were going to call fire on those people for not allowing them to pass through their village or city. Luke chapter 9, verse 55. Okay? The context of the story is from verse 51, Luke chapter 9. It came to pass when it was time that Jesus should be received up, he was going to go to Jerusalem. And then he sent messengers. As they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Verse 53, they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? You know, there are some fire praying we prayed these days, and we think God will answer. God won't. Listen. God won't. All the fires you've been sending on people, listen, if you have been praying that prayer and you are online, all the fire you've been sending on people, have you realized that they are even prospering more? The people you are commanding fire to consume, who will execute all this prayers we pray. Jesus rebuked them. Verse 55. He turned and rebuked. That's Jesus again, not hiding. You know, that's love. He said, you don't know the manner of spirit you are of. Remember, the love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts by what? The Spirit. We don't know that Spirit. If we know the manner of the Holy Spirit that's in us, it's not a spirit of fire. It's a spirit of love. If you command fire, it's still God that will execute it. Elijah commanded fire. Sir, he didn't command the fire to burn those prophets of Baal. He commanded the fire to fall on the sacrifice upon the altar. To show, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Let's understand God and scriptures in their context. You know, fire. So, you know, like just jokingly, we just ascribe some powers to people that are not, they don't have. And then we mystify men of God. Oh, don't annoy that man, or if he calls fire on you, you will die. Who is going to execute the fire? Oh, come on. Give us a break here. All right, let's read on. quickly, thank you everybody. Our time, we're rounding up now. God chose to love us regardless of our mistakes, so we should do the same with our wives, husbands, children, friends, and etc. Thank you for that contribution. That's it. He said, God chose. God still loves us. Love one another as I have loved you. That's what Jesus said. Okay? When there's no money, you can affect love. Love needs to be fertilized.
Pastor, that's why I've been laughing since. I've been laughing at that comment for the last 5 minutes.
If we are struggling, no time or strength to make our love grow. Okay. As funny and as comical as that is, you know, if we go back to how Jesus said we should love, remember the first in that order is not strength to love, is heart to love. And this question, I mean, this comment here says, you know, when we don't have money, it affects, we struggle, no time, no strength. No, what is in your heart? If money is in your heart, love of, you know, I've got to feed my family, I've got to, please don't get me wrong. The Bible says anyone who can't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. But we need to understand the context. Looking after your family starts with you. Number one, when you have a heart of love, full of love for your family, the love will, what's the word? Will guide you to provide. Sir, I realize that when I want to show love to people and I don't have what it, you know, substance, I realize that God makes a way. You love your family first. Let your heart be sincere. Because at times, sir, pride worries, especially us men. Oh, I can't provide for my family. What will people say? No. Please love God. Love your family. Let love be in your heart. And you will see how love will guide you to start making provision. How love will start helping you to become creative. Creative ways. Your heart, your soul, your mind, and then your strength. I am telling you practically, people come and out of love, I can't meet their needs. And because of love, God will just give me an idea on how to be creative. Simple as, you know what, you don't have this money, this person needs this money. Call A, call B, call C, call all these people with a heart of love. We all pull resources together, we meet the need. And God takes the glory. Because we're doing it out of love. All right, thank you for that. So money is not the fertilizer for love, please. It's the Holy Spirit. And if you are struggling, even though we're laughing, if you are struggling, I pray the love of God will come into your heart again. And I pray the love of God will inspire you and give you creative ideas to take care and look after your family. I pray that money, finances will no longer be your problem. You love God. You give God your heart and watch God give you his heart and open his hands to you. You will lack no good thing in the name of Jesus. Yes, lack of communication. Thank you. Talking consistently and constantly helps our love to still be on fire. Yes, but what are you saying? Are we speaking the language of love, or are we rebuking, arguing, unnecessary, you know, debates, just to show your spouse you are wiser, you know more than them? Let's watch our communication, okay? And let's not love in word only. The Bible says we love also with our actions, okay? More people in our relationship. I don't like to share. It should just be me and you. Others should wait.
Good.
I don't understand what that person means. I don't know if you can comprehend that anyway.
I think what the person means is, what are the barriers or what makes our love that person's love grow cold, meaning that I'm thinking it's a probably maybe a husband or a wife or just two people that love each other, and maybe other people that entering that relationship is choking that particular relationship. And I think that's, so he said it should just be me and you. So that love should just be between both of us. Other people sharing that love makes that love, in quotes, grow cold.
Is that, do you think the person means in a marriage context?
It looks that way. Either maybe a relationship, in quotes, or a marriage. I don't know, but...
Okay.
That's what it looks like.
Okay. All right. If to assume, let me just address that. There is also order. Okay? If you are married, like the scripture we showed us in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, talking about the family context, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. After your love for God, if you are married, your love for God, the first recipient should be your spouse. And others afterwards. If you love other people more than you love your spouse, that's not the love of God, because you've broken Jesus's order. You love your wife as you love your body. And what does Jesus say? We didn't get to that in Mark chapter 12. He says, second commandment important, love your neighbor as yourself. The moment you marry, your wife is now you. You can't love other people more than the love you show at home. Don't come and show me love if you're married and you don't love your spouse at home. Don't come and show me any kind of love. That's pseudo. You're maltreating your spouse at home. It's not. It's a sign that the love of God is not fully in your heart. You need a change of heart. That's just what it means. That's God's order. Oh, I go outside and I love everybody. I love everybody, other person's wives, other people's husbands, other people's children. And sir, I don't love my wife at home. I don't love my children at home. You know, I'm even telling I'm being a hypocrite, and I'm literally affecting the love that my own family should have.
Like they say
in the world, charity begins from home. Let's put it in a scriptural context. Love begins from me, from me, from me. I can't love you if I don't love me. Sir, you want to say something?
As I was hearing some big claps from your studios.
Yeah, somebody's in love with me here.
Yes, sir.
We're in love. We have no choice. We can't walk out of. It's too late. We can't. Where are we going? My wife and I. We're in love. We're in God, and we live together. We die together in love.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. When we don't see eye to eye, if it affects love, yeah. Okay, to love and to be in love, English these days has changed. To be in love is purely emotional. To love includes the will. I want to love and be in love. Yeah, remember, to be in love means you're in God. Okay, just stay in God, stay connected, stay in the vine, abide in the vine, and let the vine, that's the love, dictate every action. Okay, love is not determined by my perception, experience, or bias. I love this. God determines what love really means. It might not seem like I'm being loved, but it is truly love. Yeah? It's not a feeling. Next week, we will look at what it means to love me. Because God says, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's going to be our topic of discussion next week. Okay? The way we love our children is the way God should love us. I think the other way around, you mean? The way God loves us is the way we should love our children. Thank you for that contribution. What do I tell my 5-year-old son who says he's in love with a girl in his class? All right? This is what you should tell your 5-year-old son. Tell him that he needs to know God first. Seriously. Okay? When he knows God, very well, then he will be able to tell if he truly loves that girl in his class.
Mm.
Yes. You know, I like it when children are innocently blunt, real. I wouldn't, you know, say, keep quiet. How can you say you love that girl in your class? No, this is an opportunity for the gospel to be preached to this child. Mm. Yeah, okay, let's look at what the Bible says about love, what God says about love. So let's see it and measure it, that, and, you know, let the boy know that it's not only girls that he should love. He should love even you, the parent.
Mm.
Love, if he has siblings, love his neighbors, love everybody. So God bless that 5-year-old. Father, we pray over this child and every other child. And Lord, we just thank you for bringing this out. In the name of Jesus, let your love be shed abroad in the heart of our children. Let them truly, genuinely be introduced to your love. Holy Spirit, you don't discriminate. Even from the womb, you filled a baby. You filled John the Baptist, even Jesus. So we pray upon these children, 5-year-olds, no matter their ages, as young as they are, let them begin to comprehend the love, the genuine love of God. Let them begin to know you. And I pray that you give us parents the wisdom to translate, interpret, and demonstrate your love to our children, so that in turn they go out to show the same, in the name of Jesus. People who owe us can affect our love for other people. Yeah, very true. Remember what we said, if you focus on people, your love will grow cold. So what do we do when people owe us? Number one, don't stop loving them. Sir, I've seen extreme cases where people will go and arrest people who owe them and pay the authorities to punish them, throw them in prison. I read one today, my heart broke. I said, over what? It just shows that your value for human life, you value money more than human life. I'm not saying people should owe. Please, the Bible commands us not to owe, not to be in debt. If you are owing, please do the needful. Be decent enough, if you are struggling to pay, to let the person you are owing. Stop blocking their calls. Stop, don't delete them from your phone, your contact. Explain, do the honorable thing.
Mm.
Pastor, what steps should I take to reignite my love, which is growing cold? Focus. All right, number one, if you know you've not departed from the faith completely, God is still there. Ask God to give you a new heart. I'm telling you, sir. Huh? God, I realize that old heart is really our problem. If you find out you're struggling, right? You try to love with your strength, you try, and you are slipping back to, you know, bitterness, hatred, it's a sign that heart must go. You don't need that heart again. Ask God to create. Take this heart away, Lord. This heart that hates, this heart that doesn't love my wife or my husband the way I should. Take that heart away, oh God. Give me a heart of love, a new heart. Lord, a new heart. A new heart. Father, I pray also the final thought here is, how do you explain to a child who is not loved by a parent? Father, if the parents have abdicated their role, you are still the father to the fatherless. I pray in your own supernatural way, in your own supernatural way, reveal your love to every one of us, including children, especially this particular child that's asking this question. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I pray answer the cries of this child for their own parent. Lord, help the parents to know you. Help the parents to know you, God. And Father, help the the child, reveal your love to this child. Holy Spirit, meet this particular child. Amen. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Take all the glory, and everyone joining wherever they are, Lord, including ourselves on this call, on this program, help our love that we do not grow cold in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen.